Hello, hello, and welcome to yet another weekend podcast of Data Dojo. This is your host, Sunil Kapoor. I hope you all had a great Saturday, or, you know, some of you on the other side of the globe, you may be still enjoying your Saturday. I certainly had a good one. Well, apart from data munging, playing around with data, training corporates on how to derive those golden nuggets out of data, the other thing that I love is cooking. And cooking for family, it is such a pleasure. And this is how I kind of spent my Saturday. So during the entire cooking process, I was just thinking to myself, because pretty similar to any analytics project, or for that fact any project, it's a process in entirety, which means that there has to be a starting point. And similarly in cooking, there has to be a starting point and then the end point. And by the time you're done with your entire preparation, the output, which is cooked meal. And during that entire process, I was kind of thinking about what will I be talking about for my today's podcast. And that was the point when the vectorization, the topic of vectorization, occurred to me. And I was like, wow, it'll be a good idea to talk about vectorization. And when I say vectorization, I'm specifically talking about vectorization in R. We know that we can do vectorization in, you know, in some shape or form in almost any programming language, but I'm kind of exposed more to R, so I'll be talking more in terms of R, given the fact that you know, R is a language where you need not to tell R that, you know, it's an integer or a character, crudely speaking, because it is a higher level of coding language, if you will. And I will not get into the details of it, because you know, there could be so many perspectives, there could be so many ways of thinking about what R is, and obviously this is totally out of the scope of this podcast. So today, what we'll talk about is what are the benefits of vectorization, and few simple examples to better understand what vectorization is all about, and some functions within R that represent some level of vectorization. So with that being said, before I get into the weeds of what exactly vectorization is all about, I just want to quote a statement by Andre Deveris, who wrote a great book, I believe, if I remember the name of that book, R for Dummies. And in his statement, he stated that vectorized functions are very useful feature of R. And obviously, I think that vectorization in any language is obviously a great way to make an efficient code, which is not only efficient in processing in terms of time, speed, and it is also pretty efficient in its simplicity overall, which means that if a person like me, who's not a huge or not a great coder, so to say, I will be able to understand by looking at the code that, oh, so, you know, these are the variables, and this is how the vectorization is happening to do a particular calculation. And I think that is another brownie point of using vectorization while, you know, you write an R code, because it is easy to understand, it is fast in terms of processing, and at the same time, it saves a lot of time and is efficient. So just to repeat, so I have seen this day in, day out, because when I work with you know, a lot of teams, I work with a lot of programmers, and their natural instinct is to just go with loop for, okay, the for loop way of doing calculation, which is kind of good as well, but at times it ends up consuming a lot of time and at times is also not efficient. So a lot of time I end up suggesting them that why don't you try to do a vectorized calculation. So from that perspective, it reminds me of a very interesting discussion that I had with one of the guys who was kind of pivoting from one of the programming languages to R, and he was kind of totally dismayed about the fact that why it is taking so long to do a simple calculation or a semi-complex calculation in R, and he was kind of annoyed with the fact that it's taking forever. And he went up to his boss and mentioned that, you know, I think that I need to give up. I'm unable to understand how to make this code more efficient, and this is getting on my nerves now. So these were the true statements of that programmer. And given the fact that, you know, the boss was pretty accommodating, given the fact that there are so many things that happens within the ambit of our work and the projects that we do, the project manager stated that no worries, let's sit together and understand what exactly is happening. And when he looked at the code, he just simply stated that why you would want to use, you know, a loop logic to do this calculation, why don't you just simply go ahead and do a vectorized function, which means that, for instance, you've been asked to keep a tally of your friend's cricket score, and for each and every inning that he played, you are keeping a tally of his score. So instead of creating a separate variable for each of his batting innings, what you would really want to do is you just want to create one big variable named as Johnny's cricket score, and then what you can do is you can just assign the scores for each inning in that particular variable. So like 16, 20, 50, 70, 12, 3, so on and so forth. Now what happens is that now if you want to sum it up towards the end of the entire series, you can just simply type in sum Johnny's cricket score and you will get one number. And this is pretty efficient in terms of calculation. I know this is the simplest example that I'm quoting out here, but I think that this is the best way to understand how vectorization works. So this is certainly efficient, it is fast, and it is easy to understand. And you can very well go ahead and you can write a loop function as well, not a problem. But just think about it, that it may end up consuming a lot of time. And the best practice, so I know that almost all the time we as data analysts, we do not have we are kind of always running against the clock. Okay, we don't have that much time that we can do a lot of permutation combinations, or we can do a lot of experimentation, if you will. But as a standard practice, what I suggest to my team is that it is always a good idea to, whenever you get time, to do a little bit of benchmarking. So if you really want to see the efficiency, you may want to use a bench, probably a function to see that when you write a loop code, how much time it takes compared to a vectorized code. And believe you me, I'm up for both of the ways of doing a code. But I think that whenever you want to save some time, whenever you want to create a simple function that is interpretable, I think that vectorization goes a long way. So that is one part of it. So this was all about the integers. This was all about the numbers. To better understand the vectorized function, the other example could be paste. Okay, paste is another way through which you can add element by element. For example, you have first names and the last names of the authors. So you have one variable where you have names, first names of all the authors. You can name that variable as author, and then last name of the author, you can name that variable as last name. And then what you can do is you can, your third line of code could be paste, author, last name. Now what will be the output? The output would be element by element, which means that, for instance, if the first name is Justin, and along with Justin you have second name as first name as Nicole. I know, second, first, second, getting confused. Yeah, coding is just like that. Well, the last name is Myers, and if you just simply gonna type in paste first name and last name, what's gonna happen is that the output would be Justin Myers and Nicole Myers. And in case if you have author's name as Dean and Richard and their last names as Archer and Canton, the paste function will give you an outcome as Dean Archer and Richard Canton, which is a pretty cool way of you know, vectorizing the first name, or vectorizing the you know, the entire function to get the final output that is the concatenated form of first and last names. So with that being said, I think that, you know, this is one of the best ways to understand how vectorization can help you to save a lot of time, how it can end up being efficient and can be a lifesaver in certain scenarios. And the other thing is that there are so many ways to write a code, and coding is sort of an art. You know, more than science, it is the way you express yourself in binaries, if you will. And I think that if we try to implement vectorization or vectorized way of writing a code within R, you may end up saving a lot of time for yourself, and also your code will be interpretable, especially for stakeholders who are not totally into the coding kind of a working culture. So with that being said, I will end up this podcast. And once again, I would like to thank you all for your time and listening into my, you know, to my weekly podcast. Your response for the last podcast was amazing. Truly appreciate it. And please keep on sharing your love. It encourages me to do a lot of podcasts. So thank you very much for your time once again. And you guys have an awesome weekend. And I'll talk to you guys next week. Take care and happy data munging. Hello, hello. Welcome to another fun episode of Data Dojo Analytics 101 with your host, Sunil Kapoor. So today, we're going to talk about something which looks pretty simple, but when we start doing it, when we start to work on it, it gets so complex that at times we kind of think to ourselves that how can we effectively show the data in a way where the audience can connect with us. So in other words, what I'm trying to allude to, I'm trying to convey a very important aspect of data science, or so to say analytics, which is data visualization, that is not only showing numbers via bar graphs or a pie chart or a donut chart or whatever chart you like, but trying to convey a message through a narrative-driven storytelling, which means that, you know, there has to be a human factor when you're trying to show the data to the business stakeholders, or so to say, to the audience. So you may think about it, or probably you may want to argue about it, that, you know, how we can add the human factor, or so to say, how we can create story while creating a standard PowerPoint presentation, or you know, when we are looking into a financial aspect of a particular business, then how we can add a narrative. Well, it should be pretty straightforward. All you have to think about is the situation in which your data will make more sense, the thought behind a particular graph, and what is the background and what will be the outcome. So we'll talk about it during our podcast. So before I start talking about the ethics and the golden rules and certain do's and don'ts of data visualization, I just want to say this particular line, which I came up in the morning itself while I was thinking about that what will be the topic of my podcast. And that line is, showing analytics is as important as doing analytics. And when I say showing analytics, I'm referring to data visualization. I'm referring to a story driven visualization. So with that being said, one thing that I want to say, and this is based on what Sir Edward Tufte stated, that an excellent visualization expresses complex ideas with clarity, precision, and efficiency. And I think that this is one of the most important aspects of when we think about creating effective data visualizations.
So complex.
So now let's talk about it. Let's think about that, how we can attain that visual nirvana when we are trying to create any data visualization, or when we are trying to tell a story using probably a dashboard or a handful of charts, or whatever way we want to do it. But certainly using the data, we really want to tell a compelling story. So to be able to attain that visual nirvana, as I call it, there are three things to look into. The very first thing is visual design, that is showing the data, and then the message aspect of it, that through the data using bar graph, what I really want to tell. So it includes part of narration, okay, story narration. And then the third aspect is interactivity. Now you may think about it, that how we can add interactivity to our PowerPoint presentations. Well, there are so many ways that you can do it, but this is not the podcast where we would really want to cover this. So it's altogether a different ballgame. But think about the interactivity from the perspective of a dashboard, from a perspective of a fully functional business intelligence tool that you may want to bring to bear. For instance, Tableau's or Power BI's or ClickSense or MicroStrategy's of the world. So thinking from that perspective. So when we talk about these three elements, visual design, message, interactivity, there are certain rules for each of these three aspects. So let's talk about visual design. So whenever we are trying to create a visualization, or whenever we are creating a visual design, we need to ensure that we are using appropriate charts or appropriate graphs. So we may think of which graph we should be using when we want to show the comparisons. When we want to show the difference, there has to be a different graph. When we want to show a causality, you may want to use a scatter plot. And when you want to show a systemic structure of your data, or a hierarchy-based data, then you may think of using a tree design way of visualizing the data. So there are so many ways that you can create visual designs based on your data, or what sort of story you want to tell using the data. So this is the first part of it. And then let's talk about the message. So your visualization should have a narrative, okay? It should have a story to tell. So thinking about you're working as a contact center manager, and you have got the entire LOB's worth of data. And what you want to do is you want to start from the top, where you would really want to show that how your department is performing at the enterprise level, and then drill down to the to the specific teams, and then from specific teams you want to focus on to the team members, and then within the team members you may want to focus on the bottom and the top performers, and then based on the bottom performers you may want to come up with some sort of strategy to improve the performance of your LOB. So this is the sort of narrative that you may want to think about, instead of just putting a couple of graphs here and there on the presentation and just talking through those graphs may not add a lot of value compared to when you have a structure, when you have a storyline to your presentation. And that's what I mean by narrative. And similarly, you can create these kind of narratives within the dashboards as well. And then within the message part of the equation, the other thing is how effectively you are including certain call outs or captions or summaries that may add more value to your data visualization. And then comes the third part, that is interactivity, engagement, how you can engage the audience. So for this particular aspect, we will think specifically about a dashboard scenario, that you have created a dashboard for the organization. And now within the dashboard, you must have these four things. The first thing is the filtering capability. The user should be able to filter the data. This sounds very, very common and very, very simplistic. But believe you me, when we stick to basics, then we are much more successful than we, compared to when we go ahead and just, create a complex dashboard or a complex visualization. So first part being filtering, second part being free interactivity. When I say free interactivity, do not hold your audience with, some basic filters. Allow them to play around with not only filters, but also with the graph. So you may want to connect one graph with the other so that they can play around and create their own story when they are going through your dashboard or going through the visualization that you have created. And then there's an aspect of details on demand. And what I call this as a hidden layer or selection criteria that you can bring into your visualization. And then the other thing is, sort of a test set tutorial, okay? You would really want your audience to be well educated before they start using your dashboard. So you may want to think from the perspective of that, how you can train your audiences when they are using the dashboard or the visualization, or for that fact, even a presentation. So within the presentation, you have the notes section where you can bring in a lot of details about the graphs and the stories that you may want to tell. So there are ways that you can bring in interactivity. You can ensure that your audience is well prepared to look at the data that you really want to show to them. When I say well prepared, I'm using this phrase well prepared from a standpoint of that they know what they are looking at. For instance, if you are not there in the room, they should be able to use that presentation. They should be able to use that dashboard to make their own conclusions. And those conclusions should be right. Okay. So the other aspect is the credibility. But out and out, if you really want to attain the visual nirvana, you may want to focus on these three aspects of it. Then the other thing that comes to my mind is the five golden rules of effective data visualization. That is including four elements, and we're going to talk about these four elements. Then we have a concept of supportive elements. And then there's a concept of no ambiguity, and then the minimalistic approach and the proximity. So when we talk about the four elements, what we are referring to is we are referring to the title, the subtitle, the visual field, and the source line. These four elements should be available within the visual field of the visualization. Could be access, could be labels, and legends as well. This is a must. These are must to be present elements. And then what are the supportive elements? Okay, supportive elements could be certain aspects of visualization where you want to add an additional blurb. Usually we say that we should not be adding a lot of bells and whistles to our visualizations, but within a presentation or within a dashboard, having a background or backdrop of the data may add some value to it, okay? And this may not work each and every time, but in certain scenarios, it may work, to your advantage. And then, no ambiguity. No data should be misrepresented or is shown in a way that the audience isn't able to understand it, okay? So you need to ensure that each element has a single purpose, which cannot be misinterpreted. Then we have the aspect of minimalistic approach, okay? So you may think about limiting the number of colors that you wanna use within the visualization, because at times having too many colors may disorient or may cause a lot of issues to the audience, and they may not be able to focus on the message that you want to convey, and you may want to think about certain professional color schemas that are readily available on the internet, and then you can think about creating a minimalistic visualization with appealing storyline. And then the proximity. So you may want to limit the eye travel, okay? So you have to ensure that the labels and legends are placed in the close proximity of the visualization, so that the audiences they don't struggle to find, okay, what this red color bar is all about or what this green color bar is all about. So your legend should be pretty close to your visualizations, so that the audience can understand what you're trying to show them. And then there are certain no-nos as well, okay? When I say no-no, I mean to say that you need to ensure that no 3D charts are being used, okay? So 3D charts, they tend to skew the visual perception of the audience. So that is, that is a key. And 3D visualizations are sort of a no-no. And then think about using a donut chart versus a pie chart or a pie chart itself. So you really need to be very, very careful, because at times your eyes may fool you. So just think about it. You're using a pie chart, and then you think of using a donut chart. Now you're relying purely on the arc of the donut compared to the whole proportion within the pie. So, the arcs may give you some skewed information. I mean, this may not happen a lot, but as a cautionary point, I just wanted to talk about it. So in totality, if you're gonna take care of these three elements, which I talked about, that is visual design, message, and interactivity, you will definitely be able to attain the visual nirvana. And if you're gonna follow these five the five golden rules that I talked about, you will definitely be able to create a very compelling visualization. So with that being said, I just want to thank you all for listening in, and you all have a great weekend and happy data munging.